for 40 days, a little over 6 weeks, we of church have been engaging in the disciplines of Lent, upping our prayer, fasting from things that may have been pleasurable for us, or maybe even things that might have not been so good for us, and being intentional about being generous in our giving, especially looking out for the poor. Now, Easter's not an invitation to stop those habits, but rather than having that penitential nature, we enter into these 50 days of celebration. My brothers and sisters, today I put before you that what we celebrate today changes everything. As we walk through this Holy Week, it was a rather dramatic experience for Jesus and his disciples. Imagine what it was like for them. They were in a period of despair, questioning, distraught over what had happened. In one moment, Jesus was being hailed as Messiah, King, Lord, as the shouts of the crowds of Hosanna made it look like it was a victory lap as he came into Jerusalem. And days later, many of those same people were crying out, "Crucify him. We choose the murderer. We choose the insurrectionist." This changes everything. Because had it stopped right there, with Jesus nailed on the cross in defeat and lowered into a tomb that was sealed with a stone, the faith as we know it today would have died that day. But in the lives of his disciples, and I'd put to you today, by intention, in the lives of all who call themselves Christian, this changes everything. When we look at salvation history, we can see the hand of God touching humanity in so many ways. You read the creation accounts of Genesis, and we read about how God made everything out of nothing. Earth being a formless void. And still, creation was a beautiful delight to behold. But what changed everything was when God breathed his life into man and called us into relationship with him. It didn't take long for us to turn our backs, to lose paradise. But God didn't give up on us. He still accompanied us even through our journey. In the days of Noah, again, people had become wicked, forgotten God. God provided a way. Despite the floods that came and destroyed everything that had been created, God found a righteous man in Noah and his family. And even despite those torrential floods, God renewed his covenant. They looked up at the rainbow and they knew that this had changed everything. The people found themselves slaves to the Egyptians. They pined for freedom and liberation. And they saw God exercising his might in leading them out of Egypt under the leadership of Moses. Literally seeing Pharaoh and his armies swallowed up in the waters of the Red Sea. They themselves safe on dry land on the other side. This changed everything for them. And yet it wasn't long until they moaned and they complained, even to the point of saying that they would rather be back in Egypt rather than lost in the wilderness. The disciples were enthusiastic about Jesus. But when he was taken away, arrested, tried, and convicted, They gave themselves over to their fears. Now we know the cross wasn't the end, but the cross changed everything because it led to an empty tomb. A wise person once said, "It's not change that people most fear. It's transition." You think about it. How many of us in our lives look and aspire to something better? Maybe it's a better job. Maybe it's coming to peace with ourselves. Maybe it's the healing of a relationship. Whatever it might be that we look at as being better, we might pine for that. We might yearn for that. But sometimes we stall and we sputter because of what's involved in getting from where we are now to where we want to be. Because it usually means that we have to give up something. We may have to work a little harder. We may have to swallow our pride. We may have to reorganize our priorities and our life. My brothers and sisters, though, the cross changes everything. Because one of the things that Jesus told us is that He wants us to have life. He wants us to have it in abundance. He literally poured out His life for us so that we might have life. He literally took on the sins of the world to free us from sin. And yet sometimes we may pine, like the ancient Israelites, to go back to Egypt. To go back where we're taken care of, yet are still slaves. God doesn't want us to be slaves. God wants us to be daughters and sons. He told that to His disciples. He says, "I no longer call you servants. I call you friends." We are brothers and sisters to the Lord. And as we come together today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ conquered suffering, conquered sin, conquered death, and calls us out of the tomb with Him to new life abundance. Yet so many of us, sadly, think that we're not worthy of it. We don't think that things can be better. We don't think that we can be holy. We sell ourselves short and settle for second best. Yet God calls us by virtue of our baptism, those promises that we'll renew in just a few moments, to something greater, to something better. You know, there are three conversions in the life of a Christian that need to take place. Called to discipleship by baptism, we are called first to conversion to Christ, to own our call to discipleship, to own our identity as a son or daughter of God. Not just worried about who we are or what we are, but whose we are. He made us. We belong to Him. But being converted to Christ leads us then to conversion to His church. He didn't call us to a life of solitary confinement in the faith. Our faith is not just something personal. It's something we live together in community. Last night, we received three adults into communion with the church through the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and First Holy Communion. They recognized that faith was not something they live alone, but as part of something bigger. And you know, sometimes we can look and we can say, "Well, church, it's so imperfect. It's full of so many hypocrites. People let you down." That's my experience too. Because God doesn't call the perfect. He perfects those that He's called. And that takes a while. God doesn't stop working through us because of our sin. He works through us despite it. Despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, God still calls us to be saints. And the third conversion He calls us to is a conversion to mission. And that's a change that sometimes we struggle with. the transition to getting there from just being a member of the club, checking off the box saying, yes, I'm Catholic, yes, I'm Christian, yes, I'm part of the church. But getting to that point of saying, and yes, Jesus Christ has called me to continue his mission on earth. A mission of proclaiming liberty to captives. A mission of proclaiming the gospel of peace, of hope, of love. You know, as Americans, we take a lot of things for granted. We've had a beautiful celebration of Holy Week here in our, and like many parishes throughout the country. Last Sunday on Palm Sunday, two Christian churches, the Coptic Christians in Egypt, found themselves in the sights of a group of terrorists. Bombs going off in their churches. Martyrs being made, even as they themselves were celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And we know we might be shaking our heads saying, how does that happen? But you know what? Those same communities are gathering today because they know that death, that evil, that suffering doesn't have the victory. My friends, you may be dealing with some garbage in your life right now. And you might think there's no way out, that that's just the way it is. Relationships that might be sour, people that you're alienated from, maybe dealing with health issues, emotional issues, maybe just feeling that you're not getting to where you expected to be in life. But you know what? Here's a beautiful truth. God has given you everything, everything that you need to be the person that he's called you to be. Now, sometimes we struggle with that. When I was little, I wanted to be a basketball player. Why are you laughing? You're hurting my inner child. But you know what? God didn't give me those gifts. He certainly didn't give me the height. Rather than pining for what we don't have, what we haven't achieved or accomplished, can we look and see what God has done for us, in us? It doesn't mean that we'll never be subject to tragedy. It doesn't mean that we'll never have pain. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ is faithful to his promise. He said, lo, I'm with you always. Always. Even to the end of time. But we have to respond to it. God has taken the initiative. He willed each of us into being. He called each of us to discipleship, to not just be members of a club, but to literally be agents of change in our world. We cannot just be satisfied with being a church that maintains. Our world struggles. It's torn apart by racism, by war, by economic injustice, by poverty, by affronts to life of so many ways. Jesus put us here to be the prophetic voices to our world, to speak on behalf of those who don't have a voice, to grow in relationship with him and allow that relationship to spill over into our lives. And you know, maybe the first step for any of us is to embrace the healing that he wants for us, to get past the disappointments, to be empowered by his Holy Spirit, to move forward as he calls us to live life and to live it to the full. You look at that cross, you embrace that cross. It's no longer just an instrument of death. This changes everything. And if you let Christ into your heart, into your life, I can guarantee you, everything will change. Maybe not other people. We have to recognize what we can and can't control. But I'll tell you this much. Our relationship with Christ is a decision that we make. And when you make that decision, not just to be a member, but to be a disciple, to open your heart to whatever it is that God wants in your life, you're going to be happy. Because this changes everything. Amen?
Amen.